William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Most Wonderful Crime of the Year, a novel by Ali Carter, performed by Saskia Marleveld and Zachary Weber. If anyone has ever tried to gaslight you into thinking you're the problem, congratulations. This book is for you. Prologue. Excerpt from Inspector Patel's official police interrogation of Margaret Chase and Ethan Wyatt. December 25th.
Well, of course I have his blood on my hands.
It was just a scratch.
I obviously didn't try to kill him.
Maggie's more of a lover than a...
If I tried to kill him, he'd be dead.
She's such a good person.
Of course, I'm not offended that you'd accuse me of murder. I'm offended you'd think I'd be bad at it.
It's a point of professional pride. Wait, that was a joke. Can you please write down that I was...
You should have separated us, you know? We shouldn't be together for this. Not that we're together. Oh, no. We are not a we. He is a he, and I'm a me, and we're not.
We're colleagues.
I prefer nemesis. Nemesis is a far better word.
It's a big market, and we appeal to different... Have I mentioned they're making one of my books into a movie?
I'm sorry, but are we seriously still sitting here doing nothing? Am I really wearing this ridiculous sweater, answering these ridiculous questions when she's... Why don't you start at the beginning?
I don't understand the question.
When did it start?
Oh, it started...
In the elevator.
Chapter 1. 1 week earlier. It wasn't until the elevator doors were sliding open that Maggie realized she was about to come face to face with her three least favorite things in the world. Christmas, a party, and Ethan freaking Wyatt. For a moment, she just stood there, the cacophony of carols and chatter fading to a low hum as she stared through the open doors at the smug look on his smug face, at his trademark leather jacket, and the strand of twinkle lights wrapped around his neck like a scarf. There was a Santa hat on his head, and, of course, a copy of Silent Night, now a number one New York Times bestseller, in his hands. The fact that it was just a cardboard cutout and not the man himself should have softened the blow for Maggie, but it was all she could do not to punch him in his cardboard teeth. At the very least, she should have reached for the button and made the elevator doors close faster. And maybe she would have, if a voice hadn't cried out, "Oh my gosh, you're here!" Which was when Maggie knew she'd made a terrible mistake. She should have slipped away when she'd had the chance, down in the elevator, through the lobby, then out into the cold and crowded streets of Midtown Manhattan 7 days before Christmas. She should have gotten out of there, and she would have, if cardboard Ethan hadn't distracted her. But now it was too late, and two tiny but deceptively vice-like hands were dragging her off the elevator and into the big open lobby of Killhaven Books. "Shelley bet me $5 that you'd show, and here you are." Deborah had to raise her voice to be heard over all the small talk and laughter, because, oh yeah, there was a party going on, a Christmas party, and Maggie had waltzed right into the middle of it. A tree was blinking and music was playing, and the room was swirling. Just a little. "Maggie?" Deborah's voice was closer, softer. "You know, it's a miracle there aren't more murders at Christmas." "Oh, here we go," Deborah mumbled, but Maggie never took her eyes off cardboard Ethan. "Think about it. People who hate each other crammed together in hot rooms with too much alcohol. Scissors and strangulation devices lying around." "Strangulation devices? You know, lights, tinsel. I bet you could do some real damage with garland." In spite of everything, Maggie felt herself perk up at the possibilities. "Even mistletoe is poisonous." "To dogs," Deborah said. "In large enough quantities, everyone's a dog," Maggie pointed out as she slowly turned to face the woman beside her. Deborah Klein was 5'1" of power. Gray hair, Chanel suit.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?